Hi, welcome to the Empower Ed Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Kaufman, and the purpose of this podcast is to empower teachers, administrators, and parents of public and private school students through uplifting conversations with people across the country. Our goal is to address the initiatives and programs that are having a positive impact on student learning and really get to know the educators who are making a difference in the lives of our children. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a few minutes that may give you an optimistic view of where education is going in 2018. Yesterday, I got to go to Independent School District to George Caleb Bingham Middle School. And today I am in the Empowered Ed headquarters, and I'm talking with my producer over here, Steve. And so, Steve, say hi or something.
Steve says hi.
Okay. And, Steve, one of the things that happened yesterday is I got to meet with Brett Plater, who is the principal over there at George Caleb Bingham. And we sat down, and let me give you a little bit of some background into this guy. I started teaching with him at Raytown Middle School, and it was his first year, and I think it was about my sixth or seventh year of teaching. And we were put on the same team. He was my math teacher, and I was social studies. And so we started this whole thing. Do you remember that?
When I remember back in those days, and I remember the name Brett Plater, and I remember that you were a very bad influence on him.
That, I think he would not agree with you at all. I don't think, after talking with him, I think he takes full responsibility for all the things that he did.
I don't see how that's possible.
Well, I'm just going to say it that way because I think it's important for the listener to know that I am completely innocent in all this stuff that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, you're outside of education. Your expertise was in consulting, and but you've kind of had, you've been able to touch base with some of the educational issues. And I talked to him about one called project-based learning. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, numerous times.
Okay. What do you, what's your, basically, what do you think about project-based learning?
Well, I think it takes a lot of thought and a lot of organization and a lot of work just for one project. But you need to have numerous projects in order to make it work.
I think that's a pretty good way of summing it up because teachers, it does stress a lot of teachers out because it is hard work, but the benefits of it are phenomenal. And it's a newer idea as far as that it's called project-based learning, but it's been around forever. And so I got to talk to Brett Plater about a project that we did as a middle school group back in 2004. That we had a blast talking about. So I did a full interview with him, and we'll hear more from him later on. But this interview is about project-based learning and the first big project that we ever did as a team. And it is a very interesting take on project-based learning. And I think people who are doing project-based learning today for the first time or maybe just need some ideas, I think this will give you some ideas of maybe the do's and the don'ts of project-based learning. So I'm gonna cut now to our interview. Do you have any idea of what I'm gonna be talking about?
Yes, I do.
What do you think of it?
I think it's hilarious.
All right. Well, with that being said, I'm gonna put on our interview from yesterday and let the listeners get an idea of project-based learning.
You know, this is what I remember about our team when we were when we were together in Raytown. And throw out what your memories of the same stuff.
Right.
But we would go through and this map had just started.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we were teaming two times a day. We would come together once every single day. Sometimes an administrator would join us, sometimes not, but we would sit down and it gave us the time to kind of align our curriculums together.
Right.
And look for projects that we could do together. Mm. But not necessarily aimed at the, exactly what the state standards were.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, the point you were getting to. Because I think back to our Civil War days.
Right.
When we do Civil mm-hmm. War. And I, you know, my question is, because this is one of the things I remember, one of the funniest things I've ever remember in middle school. You might know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. But it had to do with the potato
cake. I remember the potato. I was going to bring that up too.
Okay, all right. All right. So we're gonna go off subject here, and this is gonna be one where independents don't listen. Okay, but this might be one that we got to talk about a little bit because I'm gonna go with you.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Brought a deadly instrument to school.
That also knocked out the power in the building when we tried
to get it set up. All right, so here I'm gonna back up and I'm gonna talk about this. So we sat down as a team and we every year we did a Civil War Day because right. that was part of social studies curriculum. Mm-hmm. But we figured out a way to fit math, science, social studies, and English all together mm-hmm. On our team, and our science teacher and our English teacher were great working with us on this. We taught, we had literature that went with it. Mm-hmm. We had the science that went with it was we did a lot of biological stuff. We did a lot of anatomy and things like that for the Civil War.
Right, yeah.
And then we would actually, as a culminating activity, we would go out and have a Civil War Day where we would go maybe the Lone Jack battlefield,
yep.
or we would bring reenactors into the school. And we would just give them an experience that they would never forget. And I truly believe that those kids never forgot
that
experience.
Oh, yeah, that was a blast. I never forgot it.
I don't know that they learned so much, but I do know. Actually, I think they did learn
a lot.
They
did, they
did. I think they did learn a lot. But one of the things that we did with math, one mm-hmm. of the things that happened with math is you were teaching, I believe, angles.
Yep, we were talking about angles.
Angles, and we decided that one of the great ways of doing that was with trajectory.
Right.
And so we thought, well, let's try a potato cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We would use this potato cannon to teach kids to shoot a potato.
Right.
To a targeted area.
Right.
Okay. And if they could adjust the angle.
Right.
In order to get it to land on target.
Right.
Okay. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
phenomenal in theory.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the day of practice. Let's. So you built this potato.
I built it at home, right? My All grandma's right. garage. I remember building that.
Okay. Yeah. Out of PVC pipe.
PVC pipe and, you know, just wrap that thing up in chicken wire and carpet just in case it were to explode or something like that. I was always nervous about that, although
oh, yeah.
it was pressurized pipe, so we were should have been fine. Yeah, brought a compressor out and put it on a little, I don't know, can't remember what I built it on, but you could adjust the angle of the cannon so the kids could do that.
Yeah, you had a wooden carriage with it
yeah.
that mm-hmm. that would adjust
right.
that angle.
It was
pretty, I mean, it was, now, I'm gonna go a little bit more into detail here because when I say potato cannon, all right, I want the person who's listening to this to understand, like this wasn't a handheld.
No, absolutely not.
How long would you say that that pipe was that for the cannon part?
Gosh, I don't know. I feel like 6 foot maybe.
Yeah,
I
mean, it was about 6 feet long.
Yeah,
right?
It was
yeah.
long.
Mm-hmm. And the when you, I think you tested it at home a couple of times.
Yeah, so I knew it would fire, and I remember having, you know, you had the valve on it, and I put a big piece of crowbar, rebar, I don't know where
yeah.
I was going with that, but rebar on it, so right. you could yank that down like it, and it worked well, it fired just fine,
yeah.
so.
So let's talk about the day when we set it up out in the back, and we didn't know exactly how far
right.
it was going to go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the first couple tries.
So we pressurized, you know, we're just pressurizing it.
Right.
So we had it aimed.
Because it could go all the way up to like 120 PSI.
Yeah,
that
was the compressor. We didn't go nearly that, but I feel like we went maybe 60 pounds to start with or something. We had it aimed south. Because
mm-hmm.
I was in the trailer at the time,
right?
One of the trailers, so we had it back by the trailer, and then there was this kind of a big green space, and they had the parking lot, and they had
right.
a big green space.
And so we're trying to fire this cannon and this potato Oh, I would say probably 300 feet.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
About 300 feet to a green space that sat, that I mean, it was big enough that our football team practiced on
right.
it. And so we laid out a targeting area in that green space mm-hmm. that was next to, it was towards the front of the school and the parking lot in the front of the school.
Right.
And then it backed up to the neighborhood.
Right.
Okay. So we, first time we think we put it up to about 60.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know if it would go that far.
Right.
And you pulled the rebar.
Right. And if I remember right, we shot that potato probably, gosh.
2 miles.
I feel like
I could say this. We never saw it come down.
No, but if I remember right, we drove in the neighborhood just to make sure it didn't hit or break a window or something.
Or go through the roof of a house.
Right, right.
Or we had no idea where it landed.
Yeah.
And it could very well still be orbiting.
Yeah, it could be, Earth.
It, I mean,
or someone has potatoes remember, growing in their backyard now because it hit and planted itself down.
I remember when you pulled the rebar and I think we both said, oh, shh. I mean, it went. So we took it down about 15 PSI,
yeah,
if I remember
yeah,
right.
It was pretty low.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So 15 PSI, which is nothing.
Right.
And then we were pretty much hitting the target
yeah.
each mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
So first hour comes, we take the kids outside.
Right, right. Yeah. And so
I was at the landing zone. You were at
so
the camp.
I remember we had the green space and we're like, where are we going to set these kids so they can watch the potato hit besides
right.
the team that was firing and still, you know, be out of what we felt was harm's way. So
right.
I remember they lined up on the green space, but it was way out kind of on the east side, and they had the parking lot for the
mm-hmm.
the vehicles and so forth, the teacher vehicles. So yeah,
I had a walkie-talkie with me.
Right.
You had a walkie-talkie.
Right.
And then we would talk these kids through. They would go out and measure
right. yeah.
how far they were. And man, I'm telling you what, it was working because
yeah. yeah. So they would fire it. They would calculate where they think the PSI was always set the same.
Yeah.
And so then they would calculate the angle that they felt that they needed to shoot this potato to hit the target. And then the idea was they would fire it. And then
measure.
As the next team,
right.
I think, fired it, and they were doing their calculations, so they didn't hit the target then. Because, you know, you have
yeah.
to think about wind, and so
right.
that not necessarily so much the angle, but even how to position the cannon so that it would hit the target. So,
yeah
it seemed to be working.
It was awesome. First
well.
Hour went, and then, I mean, they were coming within 6 feet of
yeah.
the center of the target,
mm-hmm.
which was amazing. Every group, every
right.
kid.
Right.
So they were coming right up with these, and I'm telling you, you have to know something to
right.
do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You have to know something about math to be able to figure out those calculations.
Right.
So that we felt, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, this is gonna go great.
So we got to second hour went well,
mm-hmm.
third hour went
yeah.
well. I think we had fourth hour plan. Went to
right.
fifth hour,
right.
sixth hour, the day was heating up and the wind was starting to blow a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and so you're just shoving the potato down there. Of course, you don't know exactly. I don't know, aerodynamics and stuff like that, the potato. But, yeah. So I know at some point the cannon went awry.
I think there was a problem with windage.
That may have been it.
They weren't really calculating for windage anymore. It was they were calculating for the distance, you know.
Right.
But they weren't taking into account the windage.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I remember standing at the landing zone with all these kids. And we could see we could hear it fire,
mm-hmm.
and we could watch it coming up over the building,
right,
and then coming down, and we could see it come down.
All right.
Well, this one, I think it was middle of sixth hour, and we see it, and I'm like, guys, this is all right. Let's get moving. Come on, get out of the way. And we started to move, and it went over our heads
right.
to the east of us.
Thank God.
Yeah, they into the parking lot.
Right.
And landed.
And nailed a car.
Directly on the hood of a car. And caved it in.
Right. The only thing I remember about the car, though, was this. Is that when we went up to look at it, other than where the splatter spot was, you couldn't really tell which dent it made.
Right.
I felt like there was multiple dents already in this vehicle.
And the oxidation all over the hood.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was all right. I'll give it that. But it did hit right center
right,
in the
right.
middle of that hood.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, it was a lunch lady's car.
Yes.
So we went in and we found out whose car it was.
No, well, that didn't happen first. Because the first thing that happened was when the kids looked at me, I said, run!
And yeah, right.
We took off running.
Well, the group that was by me, because I can't remember who we had a special education teacher with us as well. Uh-huh. I can't remember who it was.
I remember Kim or something like that.
Yeah. But I just remember when they fired that, and we knew immediately that was heading towards the group of kids, that I did say, oh, it's heading right for him. And I remember one of the kids turning to the other teacher saying, did Mr. Plater just use the S word? And she's like, yeah, he did. But he's a little nervous about what was going to happen with that. So I was worried about what was going to come after that. Yeah. Thankfully, nothing did. So
we went and told on ourselves. Administrator and,
yeah,
and told the administrator.
Went and talked to the lunch lady, and she was great about it.
She was.
She was like, oh, you know, it's all for education and stuff like that. And I was like, well, thank goodness. But yeah.
Gotta love the lunch
ladies.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. So she's very nice. She didn't make us pay for anything. We probably cleaned the potato off and went on our merry way. So.
Yeah, we didn't use
it. But that was the end of it. Yeah, that was the end of it. No more firing. I don't ever know what happened with that. I know I left it there, but I'm sure someone eventually got rid of it.
Ah, that's
but it
too
was
bad.
It was a good time for a little while. And,
well, so that was, to me, that's the epitome of like project-based learning.
Right.
Right? Like that's PBL to its max, perfect, use. But this was like 2005,
right?
Maybe, that we did that. And so or maybe it was 2004. I think it was about 2004 that we did that. Mm-hmm. And so way before PBL comes on. So what do you think about using PBL before PBL was PBL?
Well, I think that you had a bunch of educators that knew what kids need. I think the idea of connecting all, the idea of connecting all the contents, and so understanding that math isn't this lone subject area, that I only do math when I'm in math, and I only do social studies and learn about history when I'm in social studies, and I only do writing when I'm in writing course. Mm-hmm. I mean, this all, the whole point of education is building, these experiences for kids, these ideas, these skills that are going to tie together in their life. And so I think we recognize that then as teachers, and by no means are we the only set of teachers that created this. There are other teachers doing fabulous things as well, and all over, all districts. And so I think we know what kids need in order to be successful. And we knew that we can connect all this. We can make this an experience that kids will remember. Not only remember just because it was fun, it was interesting. I remember they used to take the kids out and learn the marching. They used to do the little marching thing and how that worked and learn about the different types of weapons. And when we went and visited, the Civil War site, I remember have some of the medical, it actually had like arms and stuff. Like this is, I mean, not real arms, but fake arms. Like this is what a caliber bullet could do to, to an arm, or this is how we medically would have to, Civil War, there's not a lot of practices to, to take care of stuff like that, other than we're going to have to amputate it or something like that. But, I still even remember, even from those days, just learning about, I believe they said it was the South or something, that was it them for a while, that the care, because of something with the cotton or how they washed their uniform, they tended to do, if they got hurt or something, they had a better chance of surviving or something like that. So things that I had no idea that I learned just from going through this experience as well with the kids. But ultimately what it is, it was the idea that we can put this together. It's going to make a connection. It's something that kids can experience rather than us talking to them about that.
Right.
You're actually experiencing the learning and what occurred. Right. And then being able to take things that they're learning right now, for example, in mathematics, the idea of angles and trajectory and things like that, and then apply that to this situation. Which was a new situation for them. Even though we're talking about Civil War stuff, this is a new situation. So they're taking this thing that we studied in mathematics and they're applying it to something.
And they're not asking, what is this going to be used for?
Right.
How am I ever going to use this in
absolutely.
My life?
And they may never fire a cannon again, a potato cannon, and try to learn the... But they're learning it. The process, like... to me, the mathematics was almost secondary. It's actually the thinking through.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what happened, so this is what I need to do. And that's what education is truly about. That's when they go get jobs now, the with the internet and everything, they're going to have access to information. You know, I originally wanted to be an engineer. And so, you know, in engineering, if you go into engineering, you're going to have programs that are going to calculate so much of this stuff for you. But are you going to be able to problem solve, because this is not working?
Right.
Or, you know, so how do I go? How do I work with others? How do I process that and apply this so that I can fix or solve this situation, or know that it can't be fixed or solved and I have to go a different route? And that's, to me, that's what it was about. The math was secondary. It was the thinking through. It was, or the science or the social studies or whatever. It's how did I use this,
right?
You know, and so forth. So to me, that's what true, you know, we think about problem-based learning and project-based learning, you know, is really about.
Yeah.
It's about just taking all of these skills and being able to use it to, again, apply to analyze situations, to think through to situations and be able to come up with some sort of solution or find out that there's not a solution that's going to work in this case.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that, yeah, we're using that before, maybe it truly became a popular thing and had the project-based learning name applied to that, just shows us that you have these, I think, a wealth of knowledge. You have these educators that know what students need, that's going to be beneficial for them.
Yeah.
More than just the sitting and getting
right.
type learning.
You've been listening to Empower Ed with your host, Brent Kaufman. Send us your comments and feedback by becoming a member to the Empower Ed Network. You can find us at www.teachempowered.com. That's www.teachempowered.com. And remember to spell empowered with an I, because when you're empowered, every student learns. Take care and subscribe to our channel for more uplifting conversations about our educational landscape.